Kane is in the building.
Weather is getting nicer, which means more events, whether it's a wedding or a date, Liberty Shirt Co. has you covered. They're offering three shirts for $333. Now, this may seem like a lot, but this is essentially less money than what you would spend on gas in a month, and the shirts will last a long time. And don't forget to use promo code 3P at checkout to save 10% on all other orders. That's promo code 3P at checkout. You save 10% when you go to www.libertyshirtco.com.
Hello, and welcome back to another 3P podcast. This is our season finale, sadly, episode 23 of season 5. What a long, crazy season it's been, and only about to get crazier with this episode. Once again, I'm your host, Josh Fromowitz, and joined by me are my other co-hosts,
Stephen Benazzo,
Alex Castle,
the man who doesn't need an introduction, man of many hats,
TJ Hummel.
Okay, welcome back. And like I said, this episode is going to get off to a very crazy start in the beginning. Stevie, got some family joining the show. We got your brother, Jackson. Jackson, welcome back to the 3P.
Thank you, guys. Let's get after it.
So obviously, there's got to be some sort of special occasion for Jackson to be on. And as you may know, he's a diehard Knicks fan, and that's where we're going to kick off the show. Castle, Jackson, your Knicks made some news today, indirectly, as they're involved in some trade talks to land all-star point guard DeJounte Murray, and he ultimately got traded to the Atlanta Hawks from the San Antonio Spurs for three picks, a pick swap, and old man Danilo Gallinari, former Knicks legend Danilo Gallinari. So Jackson, I want to start with you, just initial reactions, because it seemed like all day everyone had been hyping up this possible trade, and it seemed like it was almost a done deal with the Knicks, and then it kind of took a hard left turn, and boom, he's teaming up with Trae Young, your bitter rival.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks to see him go to Atlanta. Just because you hate to, as a Knicks fan, you hate to see Atlanta get better in any way. That's one of those teams that you're competing with to try to get into the playoffs. So it hurts a little bit that way. They got a really good player. I don't really love the fit for Atlanta. I don't really see it. Two ball dominant guys that need the ball in their hands to make a lot of plays. And neither one of them is necessarily great at defense. I know DeJounte is a little bit better than Trae Young is, but I don't know. I don't love the fit for them, but I'm not mad about it. It would have been good for the Knicks to get a player of Murray's caliber, averaging nearly a triple-double for the season, and for a team that has struggled to stabilize the point guard position for probably close to 20 years. It hurts to miss out on a player like that, especially when you could have easily topped the package that Atlanta gave up. But it basically came down at the end of the day, the Knicks just didn't want him bad enough. There's something there, whether it be the fit, the need to extend them eventually, the cost or whatever it may be, that the Knicks weren't comfortable doing. Two unprotected first round picks that far in advance are tough for any team to give up, especially when you're a team like the Knicks and you seem to kind of walk the line of being a mediocre team, a bad team, a good team. You can't really figure out what you are yet. For, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years in advance to give unprotected first round picks is just not good business. So I don't hate the move. I mean, they had the assets to get him. They didn't view that he was worth getting. And I'm okay with that. I think there's bigger plans in the works. Obviously, hopefully signing Jalen Brunson. He can come in and be the point guard that we need. And you don't have to, you know, try to mortgage these picks that you just got. You could wait for something better to come along, like, you know, Donovan Mitchell, anyone. So I'm really not mad about it. I don't know how Castle feels, though.
Before Castle goes, I just want to go back at some of your points. First, you mentioned that DeJounte Murray is a little better on defense than Trae Young, and I have to heavily disagree on that. Trae Young, I'll give you that. He's a horrible defender. He's probably, if not the worst, one of the worst defenders in the league. He's a liability. But DeJounte Murray might be the best defensive point guard in the league. He is an all defensive team member consistently, averaging, what, 2 steals a game, and holds his defenders to a very poor field goal percentage night in and night out. I think it seemed like it would have been a perfect fit in a Tom Thibodeau system. And then you mentioned Jalen Brunson, who it seems like he's a sure thing to go to the Knicks at any second. He's a role player, and you're going to be giving him a max. I just don't understand that move. Like, if you're going to go all in on a player, whether it be by trade or signing someone, then at least go all in on the proven all-star in DeJounte Murray. You said he averaged close to a triple-double this year, 22 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. He does it all. His shooting isn't great, but he heavily improved this year, as well as him being a lockdown defender. It seemed like he is the perfect guy that the Knicks needed to help out RJ Barrett. And if they kept him, Julius Randle as well.
Yeah, so I see your point. I see what you're saying. It's not that the talent isn't there for DeJounte on defense. I would say it's more of an effort thing. Sure, when you need him to, you could step up and, like you said, be a lockdown defender. But is he going to do that night in, night out? Maybe this season he has in the past, sure, but I just don't know. You're not paying him to be a defensive player. So that was kind of my point there. It was more effort-based. The two of them have to give you night in, night out. He has to make up for Trae Young's liability, because like you said, Trae Young is one of the worst defensive players in the league. So is he good enough to cover up Trae Young's liability defense? We'll see. For you to say that Jalen Brunson is a role player, I think was a little bold. I'm not saying that, you know, he's not an all-star player yet. I'm not saying that he can't be, but I think he's a little bit more than a role player. He was easily the number two option on a team that went to the Western Conference Finals this past season. And he stepped up and quite literally single-handedly beat the Utah Jazz in the first round, dropping 36 points, 41 points, shooting a scorching percentage from three. This is a guy that's going to come in. He's a proven winner. He's won, what, 2 national championships at Nova. He's been to the playoffs with Dallas. It's a guy that's going to come in. He's going to set a tone for the Knicks that were lacking a direction at point guard for a long time. Role player, I mean, guy averaged, what, like 17, almost 4 and 5 with Luka Doncic playing. And then out in the playoffs when Luka was out, I think he averaged, I think it was over 20, nearly 8 assists per game, and I think 3 or 4 rebounds per game. So the Knicks were paying him to come in and be not second fiddle to anybody. They're paying him to come here and to be a lead guard, and that they believe that there's some potential that he flashed when Luka was not playing with him. Luka being one of the most ball dominant players in the league. JB didn't really get an opportunity to shine. So I don't know. I think a role player is a little bold, and they're not really, I'm not going to say they're going to give him the max. I was looking at it today. It's a hefty contract. It's almost a max, sure. But if he signed that contract, he's the 43rd highest player in the league, and I think that the 14th highest paid point guard. I don't see why a 25-year-old player ascending the way that he is right now, like I said, a proven winner and been on a playoff team, why that's so ludicrous for people to see the Knicks doing. I think it's I'm not going to tell you why I love the move, and it's something that's, you know, going to make the Knicks a title contender. No, he doesn't move the needle in that way. But he moves the needle in a way that he fills a gaping need and brings a good fit culturally to the Knicks, and honestly helps them out inside the arc, which is where they struggle. The Knicks just need help offensively in all areas, but he's a guy that I think will help RJ and Julius and Obi and all those guys a lot more when he's in New York playing with them instead of Luka Doncic.
And Castle, before you go, I have a few things. I pulled up his stats. I want to, as Jackson was kind of alluded to some of the stats, I pulled up the exact ones. But also, we got to mention that his father's a coach for the Knicks. They hired him, I think, for this year. They hired him. So that's going to be a big
pet. legal tampering is what
I listen.
It's smart business.
Yeah, you gotta pull the strings that work out in your favor. So,
but if he ends up going somewhere else, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the boot very, very shortly after.
I don't know. Anyways, like you want, especially the Knicks, they need guys that want to play for them. And it seems like Brunson, you know, like would be open to playing for the Knicks. I mean, he's gonna get a boatload of money, but then also his father's coaching there, and then he can play with some young guys like RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin. And he knows he can kind of become the star of that team. So let's go to his numbers. So, because Promise, you said, you know, he was that role player. Well, let's kind of prove you wrong a little bit. So this season, the regular season, he averaged 31 minutes and he averaged about 16.3 points per game, almost 4 rebounds and just about 5 assists. And then under steal. And the postseason is where he really took off. Well, actually, let me go back. And he shot 50% total for field goals. And then from 3-point, he shot 37. So pretty good. Postseason, where he really stepped up, he played just about 35 minutes, so an extra 4 minutes. And he averaged 21 points per game, 21.6, 4.6 rebounds, 3.7 assists. He shot 46% field goal total, but then, you know, and then shot 34% from three. So you saw the points went up in the postseason when he had to have a bigger role, when Luka kind of didn't suffer that major injury, but had, you know, I forgot. Well, he got hit in the face at one time, but then he had the other injury. What was the other injury?
Just a knee sprain that caused him to miss any games.
So, you know, Brunson really kind of stepped up when he had to, and then to step up and try to replace Luka's numbers and stat line production. I mean, that's not easy. Luka's easily top three player for some people in the league right now. He's, you know, he averages like almost 29 points per game and then 8 rebounds, 9 assists. So like for what Brunson was doing on that Dallas team when really like, you know, he wasn't really a high pick. He was a second round pick and they just kind of like the dude was a winner in college. He performed well in college, just take a fly in him. And then he worked out. Like who would have thought Brunson would be like Kristaps was supposed to be that second guy. Dinwiddie was supposed to be that second guy. And all these guys were never able to become that second guy. Brunson on his own stepped up and became that second guy. So that's why I think, listen, he may not be that like superstar that the Knicks have been chasing for, but he could be in the right, in a step in the right direction. So that's my little take on it.
And I didn't say role player as like a negative, but if you think in the context of what his role was initially, he was the role player in Dallas. And then he ultimately became the second guy to Luka. But when his whole career in Dallas up until the playoffs, he was the role player in Dallas. And then he became the secondhand guy to Luka. And now if the Knicks ultimately pay him, which it seems like they will, they're going to be paying him to basically be the guy. I think it's a bit of a risky move because he has a very small sample size of being a star. And no question, he had a couple of great games when it mattered most in the playoffs. But we haven't seen the consistency. He's not a proven all-star. He's not a proven guy yet. I think it's a little premature, but at this rate, it seems like anyone these days gets those massive deals. We saw Duncan Robinson last year get a 5-year, 90 mil contract, and he only played a minute of the playoffs up until the second round. So it really doesn't shock me that he's going to be getting that amount, but I think it's a little premature.
That's fair.
And I also want to get to Castle after. So.
Yeah, and that's my last thing. And I think, listen, he's got that star potential in him. I mean, the dude led Villanova. You know, he was a star for them, and he led them. And I know that's college, NBA is different, blah, blah, blah. But same thing, like, Villanova is a storied program. So for you to be the leader of that team and really, you know, do well for them, like, that says something. So I think he has the writing on the wall for him. He just has to make it happen. I think he can.
That's fair. Castle, we finally want to get to you. What did you want to say about the whole situation going back to DeJounte Murray ultimately going to the Hawks?
So, first of all, it's nice to talk about the Knicks for once and not, you know, suffer alone. So glad to have another Knicks fan on with Jackson joining us today. But you know what? I'm not too frustrated about it. I mean, yeah, it would have been great to have gotten him, but I think Jackson did a great job of explaining how with these unprotected picks, how, you know, it's a gamble. It really is, because we could bring Murray into our system and we don't know how things could pan out. We don't know how he's going to flow with these other guys, and they're two unprotected first round picks. So I'm not really too mad about it. I mean, it sucks that he's going to the Hawks, but it's going to be very interesting to see how him and Trae Young work together. You know, Trae Young is, he's the scorer. He's the Hawks' go-to guy. Now you're bringing in a guy who can also put up a lot of points and also do well with moving the ball around. So that's going to be interesting. But my take on them not doing it, it's more of a big picture thing. You know, we didn't do anything in the first round of the draft. We traded for these picks, first round picks. Okay, great. Now what's the plan? Are we going to just get Brunson in free agency and that's it? And these picks are going to, you know, linger on for a few more years. Are we going to use them? The problem with the Knicks is that they've just been so up and down with their timeline. It's hard to really think about them making a move outside of what they've really done in the past, which is, you know, give these big contracts to guys. And like you said, Josh, it's a gamble. I mean, look what happened with Randle. We gave him this big contract. He delivered last season, went to the playoffs. Yeah, we got a first round exit, but we still made the playoffs. And then look at this past season. Nothing. The guy was chucking up all these shots. He was unmotivated, wasn't showing, you know, leadership qualities in the locker room. So giving Brunson the contract that it looks like it's going to be is a little concerning in that aspect. But looking at the other side of it, I do have optimism for bringing Brunson in. I don't necessarily see him as the number one guy yet, number one guard, but anything can happen. He can, you know, he's in a situation now where he's not playing second fiddle to Luka. So maybe things could be different. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter that people think that Brunson's was held back a little bit in Dallas, and now he could be set up to elevate his game to another level. So it's going to be interesting, but I just want to see more from the Knicks in this free agency. Don't make Brunson the only signing. Do something with those picks. I mean, if nothing pans out in the end with the picks, fine, whatever, but at least have some sort of plan. Give us some sort of hope that this team is heading in some sort of path that can make us feel optimistic about Knicks basketball again. And Donovan Mitchell, I mean, that's another rumor that's been thrown around. I'm not trying to get invested into that too much, but that's something I could see the picks use. Throw Randle in the trade. I don't care anymore. Just get him out of this team. But right now I'm kind of just trying to keep, you know, an even temper with things and not get too frustrated. First, let's actually get Brunson, because, you know, you sent the tweet earlier about the Heat being a dark horse team to get him, and then there's the rumor, other rumors. So right now the Knicks just need to deliver with the one name that's actually been out there. And then whatever happens, it's, you know, I guess it's just taking it week by week, but something's got to give with this team soon, because, you know, this is the Knicks we're talking about. They're in the biggest market for sports. You know, they can't, you know, the Nets are making all these moves, and yeah, they're having their issues with Kyrie and, well, not anymore, but I'm saying they've had their issues, but they still have Kyrie and KD, and they have other guys that are showing that they can deliver. Right now, we have all this young talent that's, yeah, it's still developing, but our biggest contract is someone that, you know, we can't even look at and say, wow, we're so proud to have Randle. I mean, this is a guy that I don't remember if he flipped off the crowd or thumbs down, but that's not someone that I feel confident in being number one. So it's going to be a while, I think, for the ball to really get rolling. But I think this free agency, they really got to make a big splash besides Brunson.
So Jackson, before we move on and let you go, I just want to get your opinion. If they land Brunson, what should be the next move that the Knicks need to do to say as a Knicks fan that this offseason was a success and a very productive one instead of a complete waste of one?
Sure. Yeah, I've got a little bit more to say on all this. So in order for this offseason to be a success, obviously, first and foremost, you have to sign Brunson, right? You have to get him at this point. Whatever you got to pay him, you got to pay him. But, you know, the way that the Knicks are covered in sports media is very unique. It's very much LOL Knicks, right? So if the Knicks sign him for a huge contract, it's, oh, my God, I can't believe the Knicks paid Jalen Brunson. If they don't sign him, it's, oh, my God, look, the Knicks missed out on their free agent target once again, LOL. All right, so you can't really listen to the media. You can't let the fans try to coerce you into doing this, that, or the other. The ultimate goal for the Knicks and for the fans should just be to see the vision through. Patience, let's see how it all plays out and take it one day at a time. So you have to get Brunson first and foremost, all right? You have to stabilize the point guard position and show that you can attract free agents to New York City. That way you can sign other players. Players can request trades to New York, make it an attractive destination. And that's part of what the front office is trying to do. On top of that, you have to, which they've already started doing, which is why it's already been a success, is you have to clear some of this logjam of the veteran players, the Noels of the world, the Burks, the Randalls, whomever it may be, the Kemba Walkers. You have to clear minutes for the young guys. These young guys have to play either for our sake in terms of making the Knicks better as a team moving forward, or just to boost their value. I mean, you try to, the Knicks tried to trade up for Jaden Ivey. They try to trade up with the Pistons to get him and the Kings. The young guys, they weren't attractive enough to some of these teams, and it's because they don't play. They're not able to build their value because there's not enough minutes in Tom Thibodeau's system for these rookies to play. So front office has to force Thibodeau's hand, has to clear out some of the veterans to clear salary cap space and minutes for the players, which they're already doing. And it really just comes down to that. Sure, the nice to have would be go get somebody in a trade or as a signing, right? Maybe you bring in Brunson and you clear more salary cap space. I know Bradley Beal declined his option. He's probably going to re-sign with the Wizards on an even bigger contract. You know, there's the Zach LaVines of the world. There's the Donovan Mitchells potentially on the trade market. There may be some sleeper pick, sleeper player that we don't even know about yet that could be on the trade market. Ideally, you'd like to see them use these picks in the cap space that they've created to sign their main target in Brunson and then get somebody else to go with it. And then, you know what? That may not happen this offseason. It may not happen during the season. It may be next year. I don't know when it's going to come, but honestly, just getting Brunson and clearing minutes for the young guys is all it would take for this offseason to be successful, in my opinion. And one more thing that I will add from it's going back to one thing that you just said about, you know, it being a risk signing Jalen Brunson. I think that can be said for honestly signing anybody to a long-term contract. The way that I look at Jalen Brunson, how I've talked about him before, is he's a player that's ascending, right? So he's on that upward turn of his career where he started to play the best basketball so far his career. And DeJounte Murray is on that same trajectory, right? He's a guy that at the beginning of the season, nobody would have expected to be a top 15, top 20, top 25 player, right? An all-star. But he, in the same regard that Randall was last year. And then you pay these guys, and then what happens? Either they get hurt, right? Or they don't perform. And, you know, DeJounte Murray's a guy that, you know, you want to talk about being a role player. I mean, he was a starter, but for his career, he's only averaging 12 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, that's not a guy that moves the needle into a title contender. Sure, he had a great season. He had the best season of his career. We've seen guys like Randall have that. We've seen guys like Jalen Brunson have that this year. And, you know, and DeJounte Murray has torn his ACL before. He's missed time due to injury. I mean, all these guys are risks. So to me, I think Jalen Brunson is a really good player. I'm not saying he's a great player or a needle mover. Like we said, he's a really good player. He's a good culture guy. He's a winner. And to get him using solely cap space, I think is a win. Whereas, you know, DeJounte Murray, like I said, you got to trade these unprotected first round picks, players, You're going to have to sign him to an extension at some point and pay him the money, when I think it's equally as much of a risk as Jalen Brunson. So to me, I'd rather lose only cap space that can be moved, instead of all these assets. And my preference is to wait and stock that Donovan Mitchell market out and play the long game with him. But to answer your question, success is Brunson and minutes for the young guys, which the Knicks are well on their way to doing.
That's two good points. And I only said that about Brunson, because I do like him. I think he is a very good player. And I didn't mean to say role player in a negative, because I see role players as key assets to a team. Like, the Knicks need that guy. I don't know if he's that guy right now, but he very easily could be. And the other point you just said about young guys, I think all Knicks fans were desperately waiting this past year for Thibodeau to play the young guys. And by trading some of the vets who are in the way, maybe that will clear the way for some of those guys to play. Because a guy like Deuce McBride or Jericho Sims, there is minutes for them. Thibodeau just relied heavily on the Taj Gibsons and the Kemba Walkers or Alec Burks to be playing 38 minutes a night instead of 25, 30 minutes. So I think that those are good points. And I think this Knicks team will look a lot different, whether it's for the good or for the bad, but it's good that at least one, maybe a couple of Knicks fans are at least remaining optimistic through these tough times and not losing their cool, like the majority, specifically a media personality on ESPN.
Well, I will say this, the Knicks, the guy that they need to get, and Jackson has referred to, Donovan Mitchell. That's the only guy that should be on their target list besides Brunson. You should go get Donovan Mitchell because he's a star in this league. He would be exactly what the Knicks can use. He's like the local guy. He's like from New York. He like then was, you know, living in Greenwich, so pretty much right there. Yes, he went to Louisville, but that doesn't matter. But I mean, he would just, New York would like absorb him so quickly. He, you know, kind of like nicknamed a spider, like the whole, and then like, you know, Spider-Man being in New York. I mean, it would just be the perfect fit in my opinion. And I think you would see so many 45, unless if he changed his number, but say if he kept his number, 45 Donovan Mitchell Knicks jerseys all over the place. And I really think that's a guy that the Knicks should go after. I mean, look it. He really made the Jazz a legitimate team. You know, Gobert was very solid. You know, he was really good defensive piece for the Jazz. But once Donovan Mitchell came, I mean, instantly, you know, they were winning series. They beat, didn't they, that first year or something like that, they upset Paul George and Russell Westbrook and the Thunder that year. You know, and then, like, yes, they've been disappointed in the playoffs, but, like, Donovan Mitchell, like, he doesn't like playing with Gobert. It's very difficult, you know, and then he doesn't have all these right pieces around him. But I think he would really – and he's so young himself, but he would be that veteran guy that I think Thibodeau will like and that will be good for the other Knicks players. But I really think that's the guy that the Knicks should target, and I think he would be better than DeJounte Murray. Not that DeJounte Murray wouldn't have been good in New York, but I think Donovan Mitchell, I mean, like, the Knicks would mean so much more to him than, say, they would have meant to DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray would have just put on a Knicks jersey and been like, this is my job. Donovan Mitchell would actually put it on with pride and want to show out for the fans and want to play at MSG and really understand the greatness in that. And so I think they got to make that happen. Really, I think will be fantastic for the game of basketball and for the NBA and for New York. And, you know, so if Leon Rose or, you know, whatever, I mean, hopefully the Jazz won't be, you know, kind of difficult with it, because it seems like they really can be.
And I would assume they would. It's their star guard.
And plus they probably hear all these rumblings of Nick, you know, Nick's trying to get him. So, you know, they could be difficult, but if there's a way, if there's a will, there's a way, whatever the expression is. So yeah, I think that's what needs to happen. That's a move that needs to be made.
Would definitely make the Knicks' playoff odds increase tremendously if they got him. But Jackson, we just want to thank you for coming on. If you want to stick around, feel free to. We'd love to have you around, but if you're busy, we get it.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. I appreciate it. And anytime you want to talk Knicks, you know who to call. And we'll see what happens starting tomorrow. So we'll be in for an exciting offseason for sure.
Exactly, exactly. And we're going to be continuing our free agency talk as we're going to move into Stevie. Your Bulls might be in a little bit of hot, mildly warm water. I wouldn't say hot water, but lukewarm, as Zach LaVine is going to hit the free agency market, test his value. But I do think that he'll remain a Chicago Bull. So are you worried at all? Because there, obviously there's going to be that risk that he could sign anywhere. But what are you feeling?
So I was worried at one point. Now I feel very comfortable. Listen, I know it's definitely not a lock, but for kind of towards the end of the season there, right after the playoffs ended, I was worried because I've seen a lot of rumors and stuff. And, you know, LaVine obviously wants to win, but he also wants the money. So here's the thing, you know, the Bulls are, they're an ascending team. You know, last year we made the playoffs for the first time in, you know, 5-6 years. I think we have a lot of great pieces, you know, signing DeMar last year, Lonzo, you know, Vucevic is still a pretty solid guy. And then you have a bunch of young talent, and then you have got guys like Caruso, and then a bunch of young talent like, you know, Patrick Williams, Ayo Dosunmu. So there's talent on this team. There's pieces of the team. But then, you know, it was rumored that LaVine might want to go back from, you know, towards home and play for, you know, the Lakers, or, you know, not the Clippers, or just the Lakers. I don't see why he'd want to. You know, I know he went to UCLA, but you'd be the second man to LeBron James.
The Lakers, maybe even third behind Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis too. Forgot about him. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So he wouldn't be the star of the Lakers. He'd just be a player. And, you know, they got a lot of money. You know, they are the Lakers, but they got a lot of money tied up to LeBron and AD and all these Russ. And the Bulls would be the only team that can offer him the true max. And, I mean, he would still be, like, maybe DeMar kind of took the number one. Maybe, you know, like, DeMar took the number one role from him because LaVine was kind of – he was playing hurt last year. And his knee was really bothering him. I saw somewhere that, like, he was, like, playing – his knee was 60%. So I give him credit for even playing on it. So DeMar – and DeMar just, like, caught fire last year, and he was just unstoppable at certain parts of the year. But he's still a star on this team. He has been for all these years now. So I feel like wouldn't you want to see all your hard work finally paid off? You just made the playoffs this year. You know, you ran into the Bucks, the defending champs, tough first matchup, but now you guys can do something. And I don't know why he'd want to leave that. And like, it's not like Chicago's not a big basketball city. I mean, come on, the Bulls are all those championships. You got Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, all these legends that have come through here. So I would imagine that Chicago's got to be good, you know, a good place to play and be out right now. And, but I have seen that, you know, our president, our GM, they made it clear that they want LaVine back and they plan on offering him the max tomorrow. So it seems like, not that it's a done deal, but it seems like LaVine will resign. You know, he might feel out other offers. I don't blame him. It's a nature of the business, of the game. It's a business at the end of the day. So, but I feel confident that they'll be able to resign him. He'll get all of his money. He'll still be a star on a team. And I hope so, because I mean, that dude's a baller, and he's still, you know, 27, 28. So like he's got a lot of years left. And I would really like the future of the team with him included. So I think it will get done. And if it doesn't, I will be a little shocked at this point.
I think the best way to look at it is look at the Kyrie situation, or look at the Harden situation. How many teams kind of bluffed in terms of saying that they're interested but didn't pursue And I think that as a Bulls fan, that should give you a lot of optimism more than it really should, because that just tells you that there aren't many teams who have the available space to throw money at Zach LaVine and say, hey, we want you more than the Bulls do, and we can prove it. A team like the Kings isn't going to offer Zach LaVine the max. They're just not going to.
And why would you even entertain a teams like that?
Exactly. Exactly. Zach LaVine wants to win now, and his best chance of winning is where he is currently with the Bulls. They have some moves to make, and that's normal. Every team who didn't win the championship has moves to make. The Nets do, the Celtics do, the Bucks do. The Bulls need LaVine, and LaVine needs the Bulls. LaVine is going to feel out free agency market, and that's normal. But ultimately, I think he will re-sign for that max deal because he deserves it. That's where he's going to get the most money, and that's also where he's going to get the most value out of his playing. Plus, the Lakers, if they were to offer him, it would probably be that same $6 million a year crap like with Kyrie. So that's just a joke at this point.
It is, and like I said, really, it comes down to the money the Bulls can offer the most. You know, winning, the Bulls are up there. And then the role, like he would be a top option on this team. Not too many teams can offer him that spot. And so I see, to me, it seems like no brainer. Obviously I'm a fan, so there's bias towards that, but I'm sure he sees that too. And I think,
I'm not a Bulls fan, but with DeRozan also aging, I believe he's going to be 33, 34 this coming year.
33.
He's aging. I think this year we saw a lot of DeRozan as one and then LaVine as two. But I think this year it's going to be more 1A, 1B, like interchangeable, which you really want between two superstars who are very close in talent. There's not a huge drop-off between either one of them. Either one of them is capable of dropping 30, 40 a night, and the other could do a good job at being a supporting cast. So I think the Bulls are aware of this and are going to do everything they can to make sure LaVine is going to be wearing that Bulls jersey next season.
Yeah, I hope so, because I need a Bulls jersey. So I'm debating between a DeRozan or but I like the LaVine number 8, but I just, you know, I want to make sure he's locked in before I spend any money, you know. I got a Kobe White one, but it seems like that one's not going to be good anymore. That was when he was first drafted. I got hyped, and, you know, they didn't really have anyone that I didn't know the future of LaVine. So I was like, all right, I'll get a Kobe White one, and then
I think that's the definition of jinxing a jersey. You get the jersey, and the guy either gets traded or he just stinks it up.
Well, it's a DHK jersey. DHK jerseys are jinx jerseys. I stopped buying them. I'd rather pay the full money to no jinx.
There you go. I like that.
And now, Castle, before we move on completely, I just want to turn to you, another superstar who is looking for a big payday. Bradley Beal, he opted out of his contract and is hitting the free agent market. But all signs are pointing to him signing that max deal, 5 years, almost, I think, 250, 240, something like that. A ridiculous amount of money. Do you think he'll test the market, or you think he'll really just end up signing with the Wizards?
I don't know what Beal is like personal wise, if that makes sense. Like, there are certain guys in the league where you know that they'll stay loyal to a team no matter what, like Lillard, or there are guys that you know that they have the talents to test out the market and actually might switch teams. So I don't know which way Beal leans towards more, but I think he's probably going to stay in Washington. I mean, he's been there. I mean, he was combo with John Wall. So, and look where John Wall's been since his career. So that shows you how long he's been with the Wizards. And for him to get a payday that big, feel free to correct me, because I'm sure there are teams. I don't know who else can give him that type of money with the landscape that's going on right now, especially in the East, with how competitive the East is and how much, you know, wealth is spread out between those teams. I don't know who else could take it on the East. Going back to talking about Zach LaVine and you know, him exploring, Bradley Beal's not going to go to a team like the Kings. Come on. I mean, yeah, the Wizards are not in the realm of being a playoff team, but at least he can be the number one guy there and they can continue to try to throw some pieces around him. So I think in the end, he's going to take the deal. I mean, him not opting in, I feel like this is kind of protocol for a lot of guys that they don't want to take that deal. You know, why would he opt in for what, $36.5 million, when he can just re-sign now and make over 200? So I think in the end, Beal will stay. If I were to see him go to another team, it would be him taking a pay cut. And I think a guy of his talent and what he's done with the Wizards, I don't think he's going to be taking a pay cut. I mean, it would have to be some curveball scenario where a team out of nowhere just comes and matches the max. But again, feel free to jump in with teams. I just don't see that happening.
I haven't seen them in the mix at all. And I don't see it happening because I do ultimately see him going, re-signing with the Wizards. But immediately a team that came to mind is the Dallas Mavericks, team very much in contention that's on the verge of losing their role of their second fiddle guy that we've been talking about, Jalen Brunson. That they're, if the Knicks end up paying that max or close to the max that Jackson was talking about, 4 years, 110, 120, somewhere in that ballpark, they could move, if they could give that money and if they could afford more, throw that Bradley Beal's way, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, they also did just get Christian Wood, so I don't know how much they could offer, but that was just one team that immediately came to mind. Not saying that I've seen any rumors about that or anything, but just the first thing that came to mind.
No, I actually like that team.
Portland as well.
Yeah. I mean, him and Lillard together would be nuts. I mean, I'd probably like that fit better than Dallas. My only thing with Dallas is that, well, I guess the same thing could be said about Portland, is he prepared to be either a 1B or a number two guy? Because in either scenario, whether it's Dallas or Portland, he's not going to be the number one guy. So both teams could be actually interesting, but I think for Portland, it would be a little more tricky because of what they're about to do now.
Yeah. So I'm glad you just mentioned that. Portland is planning on re-signing Damian Lillard to a 2-year, 100 mil extension. So that's 2 years, 100 mil, 50 mil a year. I believe when that contract hits, he would be the highest paid player in the NBA with the annual salary, jumping ahead of Russell Westbrook, LeBron, Curry, John Wall. I mean, that contract's about to be done anyway, but well-deserved for Damian Lillard, a loyal guy. He's getting the bag, and hopefully Portland could repay him.
Is it official? Yes. Or it will be official?
I believe tomorrow it'll be official when he signs it.
Because I saw it, and I didn't know if he, like, agreed to it, because I saw
that. I believe they agreed to it, but he hasn't put the pen to paper yet.
Okay. Yeah, I think they said he expected to offer, and then I'm sure he'll agree because he's
– Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
That's why I didn't say it was like official, but planning on it. But I think come time this episode comes out, it'll be official. So congrats to Lillard, and hopefully the Blazers could repay him and actually continue building a team around him, which they haven't been able to do since CJ McCollum left.
So let me ask you this then, because I find Lillard to just be like, you know, like you said, one of the most loyal guys in the league. He deserves this extension. There's no debate. But with all of that being said, how rare is a guy like that in today's league? I mean, you know, you go back a decade ago and there were guys like, you know, Dirk, Duncan, Kobe, who you know, stayed with that team no matter what, and they started and finished it. You look in today, how many times has, you know, LeBron switched his team, Durant switched his team? No digs at them for switching, but that's just what the culture of the league has become. So my question for you is, what can Portland do this offseason to continue to build around him? Or if they can't do it now, what do you think they should start to do in the future? I'm just curious because I really don't want to see Portland just waste his career away, because he's one of the most deserving guys of a ring right now in the league, aside from this extension he's getting.
I mean, it's a very good question. I think for Portland, you really just have to be open with a guy like Lillard, more so than any other star in this league, because of how loyal he is. He is someone that you want to bring a championship and you want to build around, which you're showing by giving him that money. So you want to ask him, who do you envision playing around or playing with? Like, we're seeing how LeBron has done and how he's vocally said he wants guys to play with him, how KD has put the Nets together. Instances of that is what Portland should be doing with Lillard, doing the best that they can to make Damian Lillard happy and want to continue to sign these deals and even more motivated to bring a championship to Portland. It doesn't seem like it's enough. They need to, if he wants, re-sign Yusuf Nurkic, their center. Go after, I don't know, who else? Acquire DeAndre Ayton in a trade, because he's not a free agent, because he wants the max, but he's not going to get it. I think he still has another year before he is actually a free agent. Maybe I thought they would go after OG Anunoby. They didn't. So there's a lot of pieces that they need. It really depends on what I think Damian Lillard wants at the end of the day.
Which is what they should be doing. I'm just curious.
Which they might be already. We don't know. They could be already negotiating. Maybe Damian Lillard was in the draft room with them and said, you know what? No, I want Shaedon Sharpe. I don't want you guys to trade the pick, because it was revealed what Toronto offered for the Blazers and the Blazers turned down. It was trading the 7th pick, either Josh Hart or Nasir Little and a future first, which really doesn't seem like too much for a guy of OG Anunoby's talent. Maybe Damian Lillard sees something in Shaedon Sharpe's game that reminds him of CJ McCollum, and maybe that's enough for Damian Lillard. I don't really know. None of us know.
And it's funny we talk about the Sharpe pick, because last week I think we all collectively liked Portland potentially taking that pick because of his skill, the mentorship that can be developed. So that's true. You know, building around someone in sports doesn't necessarily have to mean getting people in free agency. So very interested to see what Portland does, but I just wanted to bring that up because Lillard is, his loyalty is unique in today's league. I really do think it is.
I think that goes across all sports, not just basketball. Baseball, for example, we thought guys like Aaron Judge, the Derek Jeters, David Ortiz's, those are loyal guys. Guess that isn't really the case anymore with Freddie Freeman, or so we thought, because recently news came out that he fired his agent, the guy who helped him get a bag from the LA Dodgers, ultimately hid the Atlanta Braves' final offer from him because the agent wanted him to sign with the Dodgers. Now, this is a very fucked up situation. Freddie Freeman this past weekend had his homecoming. He got his ring. in Atlanta, whole emotional weekend for him. And now days later, this comes out. He probably should still be an Atlanta Brave right now. And he should be in that conversation of the Derek Jeters, the who else is Mike Trout, the guys who stay loyal his whole career, because it sounds like he ultimately wanted to stay an Atlanta Brave. And I know, Stevie, you want to go, but I want to get to TJ first. What do you make of this whole situation? And is there anything that really could be done to make it any better?
I mean, well, first and foremost, his prior agent should be in jail, if not should be facing jail charges at this point. What he did was very illegal. I want to get out of the way first. Secondly, I don't think there can be anything done to fix it other than somehow, some way, team, they can come into like a trade agreement to send Freddie back to Atlanta for, I don't know. It's because what's his contract out there?
I believe the current contract is 6 years for like 150-160 mil.
Yeah, so that's quite the contract. And
obviously he's in the first year of that contract
Right. Yeah. So it would be quite the ordeal to situate a trade to get him back to Atlanta. I don't see any buyouts happening and going back to Atlanta. I don't think there's anything that can be done except play in LA for two more seasons at least, and then maybe revisit a trade. I don't think there's anything that they can do for Freddie at this point. If I'm understanding his feelings and how he feels about playing in LA compared to being in Atlanta, I feel like he's going to retire before he goes back to Atlanta.
You think he ends up retiring as a way to get out of his contract sooner rather than later, and then possibly revisiting going to Atlanta per se?
I could see it happening. I mean, it's not really likely, but it would make sense in his case, especially because with all this new information of his agent withholding the Braves' final offer. Because I think we can all agree, and I think you already said it before, that he'd still be a Brave this season right now. And I think the whole way that it happened and how it went down is awful. I feel really bad for Freddie because he's one of those guys that we all grew up watching. So we don't want to see him get treated like this. But at the same time, business is business. But how shady and how legit can you be calling it a business?
Crazy to think, though, how close he was to possibly being a New York Yankee, because it really came down to three teams: the Yankees, the Braves, the Dodgers. And I honestly thought it was between us and the Dodgers. I didn't really see the Braves as that final team. And now it makes sense why they weren't that final team, because they were that final team. You just didn't know about it. So, Stevie, if you're Freddie Freeman, and now he represents himself, so he doesn't have the agency, what are you doing about this? Are you just saying, you know what, I know I'm one of the best baseball players, I'm going to stick it out? Or do you just say, hey, like, this whole situation is fucked up, we got to do something about it?
I mean, right now he's locked in for a little bit, and I think he is a loyal guy. He's an honorable guy, so he might fulfill his contract. You know, he signed with the Dodgers, so he might, as much as now he's realizing what a messed up situation this was. You know, I think he's not the kind of guy to go back on it. I mean, the Dodgers did nothing wrong to him. They still offered him a big contract. He's still their starting first baseman. There's nothing that the Dodgers did wrong towards Freeman where I think he would, you know, walk out on them. But I think, you know, it's just more of a disappointment for him that he, you know, there's nothing he could do now except for change, you know, to fire his agent and then just not speak to them anymore. And I just find the situation to be so messed up. And you got to think, like, Freeman, you know, he chose to sign the Dodgers because that was like his, he was from California. So that was his home team. And then, but really the Braves were his home team. I mean, that's what he called home for how long, all those memories and, you know, records and all this other stuff that he's done with the Braves. And, you know, and really you want to win, and the goal is to win a World Series, whatever you are, and to bring a city a championship. And he did that. You know, it took him a little while, but he did that. And, you know, for a team like the Braves, like, that wasn't easy to do. You know, they've had a lot of good years, but they also had some rough years. But he stuck it out through both. And so I think that's why he was heartbroken, because, you know, he had a home there. You know, he lived there for how long? His kids were, you know, going to school there. Now they had to get up and leave because he thought, you know, the Braves really didn't offer him. He didn't know of that last offer. And so then when it seemed like Freeman wasn't coming back, that's when they got Matt Olson, which you don't blame them, because obviously they were trying to do, they obviously they did everything they can to try to bring him back, but it was just the agent that was being shady and just lied to Freeman's face. And that's when you got to be careful with who you, you know, who you really trust. And like I said, I don't see him walking back on the Dodgers deal. I see him playing it out. You know, I still think he's going to give it his all, but, you know, he's definitely going to probably think about, you know, when it's all said and done, he's going to think about how his career ended. I mean, listen, he's going to be a legend in Atlanta for through time, you know. He's going to always remember those days. You can't take that ring away. You can't take all the other accomplishments away. You can't take his time away. But, you know, when he's done playing, he might look back like, what it would have been like if I did stay there, you know, even if they never, he can win a World Series ring every single year with the Dodgers. And I think it may not, he may not be as excited about his career, say if he was playing in Atlanta. Like, I think that's how much Atlanta meant to him and him being a Brave. So I just, I really feel bad for him because I really like him. And, you know, I was kind of like, oh, like the Dodgers really, like, but really he was kind of the same thing. He, you know, it seemed like that was the, like, no one, if we all knew about this last Braves offer, we would not even be talking about this because he would still be playing for the Braves. And then who knows where Matt Olson would have ended up, you know, but it's just, you know, it's really a, it's just a terrible situation. And, you know, you say terrible because obviously he's living in LA, he's playing for the Dodgers, who, you know, have been so successful over the past how many years. You know, he's making all this money. So it's like, oh, how can you feel bad for the guy? But at the same time, like, that was a big change he had to do and go through. And, you know, if your heart is set at a place or, you know, with certain people, like, it's hard to just leave that. And so I feel for the guy, and, you know, I wish him the best going forward. And I know he'll do the right thing, and really no one should give him any sort of hate because he doesn't deserve any.
So Castle, I just want to get some final thoughts before we wrap up the show. Do you think this leaves a stain on his legacy in any way? Like, when you look back, I mentioned Jeter, I mentioned Mike Trout, some of the other guys who've spent their whole careers with one team, who ultimately Freddie Freeman could be in that conversation if he had stayed and re-signed with the Braves. When all is said and done, do you think we'll look back and say, Freddie Freeman, this was a giant mistake, we'll have to rethink his career, his playing days? Or do you think we just kind of overlook this because ultimately he was blindsided?
It's tough for me to say because I'm still fully trying to wrap my head around the situation. You know, this was a major contract, and the fact that he only found out about it recently, that the Braves were in the mix, it's just mind-boggling to me. You know, how do you accept the deal and begin your process with the new team? And how does he not hear any rumblings about this, any rumors? You know, we know how sports is today with rumors and leaks, and it's just very mind-boggling to me how this is just abrupting now. I mean, I love, you know, theories and different things like that. And we could get more into this next show, but I have a theory that I think he did know about the Braves deal, took the Dodgers deal in the end, and something else happened with his agent, and that's why he got fired. And this is the story. But anyways, getting sidetracked, to answer your question, no, I don't think this should stain his legacy. If his agent really screwed him over like this, then absolutely not, because we know that he would have taken the deal with the Braves, and this was just an unfortunate, you know, issue with his representation. But I personally would not say that this should stain his legacy, because regardless, he brought the Braves a World Series. When was the last time we talked about the Braves winning a championship? So yeah, you know, he's not going to be in the same category as a guy like Jeter, but I still think he will be a pretty big talked about name with baseball when it's all said and done. And I don't think something that, again, as far as we know, something that he did not have any hand in should ruin or tarnish his reputation.
Also, just want to add in that this all coincidentally came hours or days after his return to Atlanta. So I wonder if that also could come into play. Maybe he's feeling some sort of emotional way after playing and getting his ring and realizing what he missed out on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not, you know, accusing him of lying or anything like that, but come on, like, how can this guy, I don't know who else his agent represents, but this would be such a stupid thing to get fired over. Like, this is a big contract that you're getting your client, and you're going to neglect telling him about another deal that's going to not only get him the same money, but even improve his likeness because he's returning to the city that he just won a championship. It's just not adding up to me. So out of all the stories in sports right now, this is the one that I really want to see how it develops in the end, because this, you know, coming full circle with your question, this shouldn't have any effect on his reputation. It really shouldn't.
And really, this should impact entirely on the agent. Castle just said, it should not have any sort of negative effect, impact on how people look at Freeman and his career and stay in his legacy, but it should entirely on his agent. And I'll have to do more research on his agent. I don't know if his agent, you know, I mean, listen, if he has a guy like Freeman, he could easily have a bunch of other big time all-star guys. I'm not quite sure. Or it could just be a guy that Freeman has known for a long time that really he just has Freeman. So I don't know. We'll have to look more into that. So I don't want to come up to conclusions, but I mean, either way, it's just for him to let greed come in the way of his own client, then, you know, he's got to rethink kind of what he's doing and where he's at. And, you know, and that's just when greed comes into it, I think. And it really is just a shame, and I don't want to just keep harping on it, but yeah, it's just because a guy like Freddie Freeman, he just does things the right way. He never really complains. You don't see any bad headlines with him. And then this one, you know, you might want to say it's a bad headline, but it's not something that he did. You know, it's something that it wasn't even in his control. So, but like I say, I just really do feel for him and wonder how things would have played out differently, because I really think he would have, you know, obviously stayed with Atlanta, and then, you know, who knows where things could have ended. And, you know, so yeah.
But like Castle said, this is something we definitely will be keeping an eye on as the summer, the months progress. And since this is our last episode, lucky for you guys, you'll be able to tune into our Instagram run by the one and only TJ Hummel, the man of many hats. He'll keep you guys updated if anything transpires. This is a possibly big time story that we are all very interested in. And as if news breaks that something else occurs, our Instagram will definitely be on top of it. So make sure you check that out. We also want to shout out Liberty Shirt Co. Makes the best shirts. Stevie will hopefully be getting a shirt sometime soon. He's got to look as good as the Fox analysts. They're getting ready for college football and NFL season. And for you know it, so will we with our fantasy picks. And we can't wait for football season. Speaking of sports and football, OP Sports Betting, they're getting ready for their launch. And it'll be ready just in time for football season. So sometime this summer, they'll be launching. I believe the next couple of weeks, I've been seeing some announcements about that. We'll make sure you guys are updated on that as well with our Instagram. So we don't want to keep you guys out of the loop on that. And Wild Chat Sports, our partner, we just want to shout them out. They're doing a great job. They've got their own content coming out. Kevin, we mentioned, has his own studio out in LA. He's got some great guests. So make sure you check him out. And you, the listeners, we want to thank you. 5 seasons is in the books, but season 6 is going to be back before you know it. And we'll be making even better content and better episodes. So make sure you stick around for that. And thank you all and have a good night.
The weather's getting nicer. Basketball season's heating up. And baseball's around the corner. You know what that means. It's time to win some cash. OP Sportsbook launches in late spring and will provide a fully encrypted and anonymous betting platform where users will bet with stable cryptocurrency. This means that they can place bets with crypto without having to worry about the volatility of crypto. Powered by the Solana blockchain and Web3 technology, opsportsbook.com represents the future of sports betting. 3Pete is proud to partner with them and always remember to bet responsibly. That's opsportsbook.com.